You're a bitch, bitch.
That seems uncalled for.
We won't explain it later. Mike?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comes Naturally Podcast. As always, this podcast is completely free. So help us out. Go to our Facebook page. Like and share the Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
at Comes Natural Pod.
And then after you do all that shit, you go to iTunes, you subscribe to the podcast, you rate the podcast, and review said podcast. Cody.
Hello. Welcome to Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. Spoilers. We're going to spoil the shit out of Force Awakens right now.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
All the spoilers.
C-3PO's a red arm. Boom.
Spoiler. I do like that they made reference to that in the movie. Because obviously you see it in the trailers and you're like, why the fuck does he have a red arm? You know, what the fuck happened to him?
And it's as simple as he lost it.
Yeah, he lost it.
It's like, no epic story.
Nope, he lost it. And they're just like, yeah, we'll get another one sometime.
I really honestly thought...
He has a new one at the end.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, but they make reference to it at one point where they're saying that he's going to get it replaced.
I honestly thought he had a red arm because it was stained with all the blood of his enemies.
Which would make sense.
He
shakes his head no.
He is who they sent to kill everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Spoiler.
Even Jedi younglings.
Spoiler.
Oh, whoa.
C-3PO kills everybody.
Sorry, Sith younglings. Jesus. Yeah. Because there's
trying
those.
To get them back.
There's those, right? It's only two at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so where do you want to start with this?
Do you want to just explain the movie?
Nah, let's just talk about it.
Or what'd you like the most? What'd you like the most about it?
We'll go three favorite things.
Right.
Ooh.
Each. Mm. Okay. Mike will go first. Mm.
Three favorite things each. My number one favorite thing is all the new characters in it are dope as fuck. Like, all the new characters are a lot of fun. My second favorite thing in it is it looks fucking beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And they used, obviously, they used a shit ton of CGI because that's how you make movies like this. But it's not like the prequels where it's 900% CGI.
And
like,
you can tell
there's enough
CGI.
Cool shit. And it, like, it looks gorgeous, but realistic. Mm-hmm. Like, not everything shiny and perfect. You know what I mean? Like, and then, third favorite thing is just the fact that this movie kind of had the balls to do what I didn't think they were going to have to do.
Make a female Jedi.
Yep. That's what I thought they didn't have the balls to do.
They didn't have the balls. I thought you were talking about she didn't have balls.
We should just like get this out of the way. It's obviously the elephant in the room. Everyone's seen the movie here, right?
Yeah, of course.
You had to check. We literally were just talking about it.
Someone dies.
Someone important dies.
Spoilers, 100 times spoilers. Like, if you haven't seen it, just please don't listen
to
this episode
yet. It's in the
title.
Look above.
Yeah,
spoilers.
It's going to say spoilers.
Han dies.
That can't be the title.
Hey, don't worry, Chewie. He's got a new co-pilot. Bing Bong and him are going to the moon.
Oh, wow.
All the feels.
Bing Bong.
Yeah, they kill Solo. Or they kill
Han Solo.
Han Solo.
And spoiler, it was his son Ben. Spoiler, Kylo Ren. Spoiler. That was his last final step into the dark side, and now he's gonna be super badass. So in BB-8, a little known fact, BB-8 is the fuck baby of C-3PO and R2-D2.
Not true.
Ooh.
That's not true.
That's not true at all.
But he is my favorite character.
He's not the fuck baby of C-3PO and R2-D2. He's the fuck baby of all those other computers that that R2-D2 just stuck it in and just twiddled with.
Jokes on you.
Somebody...
R2 pulled out and came all over their motherboards.
No.
Oh!
That's how you
get robots pregnant, though.
No, that's not true. Capacitors.
Yeah. Well, they're right next to the hoverboards. The motherboards.
Yeah, they're next to the hoverboards.
They just light on fire, too.
They fly.
Oh, something's flying.
Yeah.
This took a weird turn. But for real, Han Solo definitely dies 100%.
And for sheezies,
And now, If you've never cried during a movie before, you're a liar. And you also, cried during this. You will cry during this movie. Cody had a constant stream. It was like a faucet turned on low. Like as soon as the Star Wars logo popped up, just like his beard was soaked. It looked like someone greased down his beard after he got out of the theater because it was just collecting all of his sadness. And
that's a lot of sadness.
Yeah, yeah. This is what happens to his tears. His beard just absorbs all of it.
Is this sad grease or happy grease?
His beard tried to kill himself afterwards. It was really sad.
Wow.
But no, this one's going to kick you right in the nut feels. And yeah, it's pretty rough. But they did it, man. I didn't think they were going to do it. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about on this podcast, I was like, someone's dying. I thought 100% it was Chewie.
Because that one scene that...
Not even that one scene. Like that kind of made me think like maybe, mm-hmm. you know, because it kind of looked like Chewie. But before I even seen that scene, I was like, okay, it needs to be someone everybody loves.
Yeah.
But I don't think they would take Han, Luke, or Leia right off the bat after bringing them back. Like I didn't think they'd do it.
By the way, they did it.
Yeah, they totally did it. They took Han right the fuck out of the next movie.
Brutal.
and again, spoiler, you've already seen this. If you haven't.
And just like yourself. You, Han got the point.
Ayo. But he's killed by his son.
He got more than just the point. He got the whole thing.
Which is extra brutal. And the scene was actually done really, really well. And it sucked, but it was very much needed. Like, and what they did enough of Kylo Ren like doing his little second guessing, like really just that one scene where he's talking to his grandfather's mask, which mm-hmm. is grandfather's Vader. Spoiler. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. If you didn't extrapolate that from earlier, yeah. then something's wrong with you.
So because this is Han and Leia's kid, had the Force, yeah. Like actual,
he did
fuck
not
baby.
Pull out and shoot on her motherboard.
He was strong with the Force. Leia was worried about him going to the dark side because of Vader, so he wanted him to train with Luke. Apparently, he pulled an Anakin,
felt abandoned,
and went to the dark side. And he is fucking powerful right off the get go.
Yeah,
like the first But the first display of the
you
get
to see
does,
how powerful it was right away.
Like,
but
holy
not
like,
shit!
Like,
I don't think it was fucking.
No, Ray is strong. From the,
I'm talking about in the movie. Yeah. Like, I'm not. We don't know about his training and how that worked out. But I'm just talking about from the movie. The first display of the Force you see him do is dope as fuck. And I don't know why I never thought that
could be done.
That could be done, but it totally. And the way it looked, he stopped the blaster. Or a laser.
Shot.
Stopped a shot and just stopped it. And it was sitting there and it looked fucking awesome because it looked like it was vibrating, trying to go and it couldn't go. And what the beautiful part about that scene is he stopped Poe also at the same time. Poe couldn't move till they punched him in the fucking stomach and knocked him down and they dragged him over to him. And so there's all the dialogue and everything that's happening. And then like you see a far away cut and you see the blast is still sitting there.
Yeah.
And until he walks away and he's done with everything, then he lets it go and it knocks him. I was like, that's fucking gorgeous. Like, that's beautiful. Like, I don't know whose idea that was. Probably JJ's, I'm guessing. I don't know if it was just written in like that or...
But I like the reaction of the stormtroopers at that point, too, because it goes. It hits that fountain or whatever, and there's troopers that are like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because, like, everything had stopped at that point.
Finn.
Finn.
My wife's gonna say,
Cody almost went full nerd.
Yeah.
FN10 because I know his name.
He did the glasses push up thing to mock you.
I did.
Oh, it doesn't start with a one, jackass.
I'm sorry.
Anyways,
I've only seen the movie once.
Finn. Well, then you need to fucking go watch it again.
I do actually.
Finn is still sitting there shocked because of all the shit that just went down. And he's just sitting there, and he's watching Kylo walk away. And Kylo just, like, looks at him. And I was like, oh, you done fucked up, son.
Well, because
like,
Kylo realized that he didn't shoot.
Yeah. Also, I think there's a twinge there. He's like, I feel something here. Because, you know,
essence of force.
Spoiler alert, Finn wields a lightsaber later on, which means he might have a wee bit of the force in him.
Is that, so is that, that a, like, you can't operate a lightsaber
you can't,
without?
You can operate one, you just can't wield it well enough like he did, because there's no weight to it. So the force gives your body the feel of a, of an actual sword. Because,
like, Han has used
it. Yeah, but, like, Han, like, held it out and just went like this. But, like, he was, like, I'm not going to say
so
definitely
used it. So
is that
an in-canon thing, or is that just, like, a theory?
No, it's a canon thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you, the way you,
I thought it was just a theory.
Well, A, if you, when you are in your training, you build your own lightsaber, which means you have to use the force, because the only way to construct it properly is with the force. But also, to wield it well in an actual fight, you need it, because otherwise you'll chop yourself up, because there's, like, there, yeah, you can see a blade, but there's no movement, so when you you're swinging around, you just hit, like, oh shit, like, it wouldn't have that weight, so you have to balance it with the force. So he has a little bit enough. He didn't nearly use as much as Rey did. Rey has, so far, has not actually exuded force. She has just tapped into it. So she's had a vision, she's able to resist, she's able to mind trick, but she's yet to actually physically, other than pulling the saber, the blade,
yeah, she got,
that's the only, that's the first time she actually uses it.
But they, the way they did Rey was so fantastic, because, like, yeah, she's cool right off the get-go. Like, she's pretty cool, and she's fighting and holding her own. And then she jumps into that garbage plane that ends up being the Millennium Falcon and fucking operates the shit out of it, which was cool when you're watching it, because you're like, all that dope-ass shit you saw in the trailers, you realize it wasn't Han doing any of it. It was Rey, so I was like, that was pretty fucking cool.
It's Han's daughter.
So, yeah. And so all that was cool, but once she realizes, like, she has the Force, because what's his fuck? Kylo has this really cool thing, which we haven't seen with the Force yet, right?
Not
like,
on
the, at least the way he does it, where, like, when I saw it in the trailers, you see him, like, holding his hand up to Poe's face in the trailer, and I thought he was literally, like,
force
crushing his skull with the Force, is because he looks like he's in pain and stuff, but he's not. He's, like, reading their mind.
Yeah.
And so he's, like, fucking with their brain. So I was like, oh, shit, that's dope as fuck. And he does it to Poe, and he gets, like, Poe's cool as shit, but he gets what he wants fairly easily out of that. And he does it later on, does it to Rey, and Rey's like, fuck you, get out of my head, and then starts reading his thoughts. So you have this dude that is, like, super strong with the Force, and he's a total badass at this point. And then all of a sudden, this is the first time she realizes she has the Force, outside of the fact that the saber called to her and whatever, but this is, like, the first time she realized it. So she, you see it click in her head, and then so she's like, oh shit, I have a little bit of the Force, let's see how much of the Force I have, and does the Jedi mind trick,
which didn't work at first,
didn't work the first time, started working a little bit the second time, didn't really work, but the third time you see the stormtrooper like set back and then like listen to her. It was so dope. Like, it was funny, but made sense. Like, it wasn't just jokey haha bullshit. Like,
did you know who the stormtrooper was in that scene?
I didn't know
at the time either, and then Cody
then
had said
I saw the article, because I knew James Bond played a stormtrooper.
Daniel Craig was supposed to be in it somewhere. He played a stormtrooper,
and
actually totally forgot about it. Watched the film. It was that was an awesome part.
When I saw it, I didn't really think about it during, but afterwards I was like, oh yeah, Daniel Craig was supposed to be in it. I bet he was the one that fought Finn with
what's it actually called?
It's called a baton.
I'm thinking of the Imperial Guards.
Vibroblades.
So when it went down and I looked back, I was like, oh, I bet it was him, because, you know, Daniel Craig's an action-y fucking star.
And it would have made sense for something.
It would have been
like
cool for him to have that scene, but ends up his scene was way better because he's the one that gets duped by the Force, which I feel bad for him because, you know, he got killed later on.
But he was a super dick, too, which was hilarious.
One way or the other. And So the fact that she goes, and we had talked about this, in a matter of what in the movie, like in the movie time frame, could have been no longer than 8 hours tops, goes from realizing she has the Force to battling Kylo Ren with a lightsaber, and doing pretty good. And obviously Kylo Ren's pretty fucked up at this point, because but she beats Kylo Ren, and the only reason Ren's still alive is because the planet separated and it saved them.
She had murder in her eyes.
Yeah, she was gonna kill the fuck out of him, and it was actually, but
justifiedly.
The fact that in like a span of 8 hours goes from not knowing she has it to doing really good with it, it's fucking ridiculous. Because then you go back and you think about Luke. Like, Luke is supposed to be, like, super badass, or is super badass, but it took him years to get to the point to where basically she's at now. And obviously this is, like, super stressed time, so it's probably all heightened. So I'm guessing she can't just tap into that at will. Like, she has to be knowing, like, it's life or death. Mm-hmm. Like the adrenaline kicking in.
Well, you saw her at the end. Yeah. Focus. Like, she's like, and then she closed her eyes and... At that point, Kylo should have been like, oh, nope, kick that bitch off the fucking cliff.
So with just that being set up, you're like, oh my gosh, she could be basically the Superman of Jedi. Like, she's going to be all powerful. Like, once she gets, come third movie, dude, she's going to be so badass. Like, just...
That's what I'm hoping.
Picking shit up and throwing it at fucking armies of people coming and stuff.
Maybe pick someone up and throw them against a tree.
Yeah. Like some people do.
Dicks.
But, you know, that's probably what has me most excited, is how well they did Rey. And it's like, holy shit, dude. Like, and she's a super good actress, too. Like, she knocked that shit out of the park. She was funny. She did the action really well. She did the drama scenes really well. The dialogue, like, everything was on point. That was the best part about this movie, is it was just so well cast. That every new character, Rey, Finn, Poe, were fucking cool as shit.
Ben, what do you want to call him?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, even him. And then, like, there's some things about him, too, where you're like... because I kind of went back and forth with this in my head. I was like, well, he seems... In my head, I'm like, why does Rey already get the drop on him? But then you realize, like, he'd been shot by Chewie after he killed Han. So that's obviously fucking with him. Mm-hmm. And he did just kill his dad. And he had mentioned earlier in the movie, like, he's still getting pulled from the light to the dark side. And he's struggling with it. So him killing his dad is probably that last step to make him fully embrace the dark side. But at that moment, you can understand why his head's probably still a little conflicted. Mm-hmm. So he's probably not 100% mentally from that. At least that's what I'm gathering. And then physically, he's not 100% because he does get shot in the side and he's bleeding like a motherfucker while he's fighting Finn. And Finn holds up okay.
Clips his arm.
Yeah.
Clips his arm, but gets his ass kicked. And then Rey...
gets a bacchiotomy.
Rey fucks some shit up.
Pokes him in the shoulder, gets him in the arm, slices his face.
So by the time they get to Rey, sliced arm, bullet or blaster wound on the side, and just killed his dad. So you can understand, like, she has the upper hand at that point, so it doesn't make it so lopsided. But I'm so excited about future battles between those two.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how they're going to do it, but, like, in my head, I'm thinking final act of the third movie be Kylo and Rey at full power, light, dark, dude.
Just going at it with each other.
Like, that was weird.
That was weird, actually, stated.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's so ridiculous. Crazy. How so much anticipation for this movie, and all it did was live up to all the hype and... Like, I'm talking about the third movie already. Like, like, I'm so excited to see. And, like, they could do it in the next one, but it just makes more sense that they do it in the last, like, this trilogy. I don't know how they did that. A, live up to all the hype, because it totally did. I thought it was going to be good. It exceeded all my expectations, because I thought I would have something that bugged me about it, and I really don't. Mm-hmm. Like, if I try to find something, it's real nitpicky, and then it justifies itself. As I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then just set expectations even higher for the next one. It's like, Jay-Z did it so well. And then the fact that you don't really see Luke until the very, 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 very end. which in Marvel world would have been an after credit scene.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even say anything. He just looks at her, and he's got this, this fucking badass Terminator 2 hand. And I'm like, oh.
That was pretty badass. Because you see the one hand in the flashbacks that they were doing when she went R2. To the... Yeah, it looks like almost like a gauntlet from like the Middle Ages. But then at the end there, you nailed it. It looks like a Terminator hand. It's just like dun 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 dun.
Yeah. The music actually played.
It played in here.
Dun, yeah. Dun,
dun, dun. But on that scene that you're talking about, when he puts his hand on R2, if you this my second time watching it, I looked at it. It actually does look like the exact same hand. It's just dark enough.
It's
not
dark
to
and it's
but
weird.
Yeah, it doesn't look as gauntly as it did in the clip. Because
like in
you
the
see?
In the final scene, he pulls his hood down.
You got the badass.
And so
hair.
Yeah,
beardy beard.
Yeah. But you see it, it's so clear, there's nothing going on, so you get a real good long look at it, and it looks super good.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks, man, I don't know if I'm overstating it, but for him to literally have no lines, and basically, how much pressure is that for an actor to be like, yo, everyone's looking for you this whole movie. They've, like, I'm talking audience-wise,
yeah.
They're waiting for you the whole movie. The whole movie's built up to finding Luke.
Like, you're waiting for it. You're like, shit's going down. Is he going to step out of the shadows and just start fucking people up?
You think, like you're thinking maybe he shows up and helps. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, they get to him and there's a scene with them. But literally, all he gets to do is have a look.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking knocks it out of the park, dude. I don't know if I'm overstating this, but just acting with pure facial expressions and him and Rey all of a sudden, like, they're just staring at each other, and it sounds dumb when you say it, like, they're literally just staring at each other for like 15 seconds, and the scene's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's amazing, and now you're just like, it did such a good job of up until that point living up to all the expectations, and then that one scene you realize Luke is gonna fuck some shit up in this next one, and like, that's all you're waiting for now. It's just like, okay.
Well, that's what I'm
hoping
for.
We saw
it.
Let's see the next one.
Because the look on his face, though, was just, like, so much pain. Like, you can tell he
I wish
he
they filmed all of them.
Forgive himself for the fact that Ben, Kylo Ren, turned to the dark side. Like, in his mind, you could tell, just like you said, from that one instant that he was so unsure of himself, and that's why he left. That is a very loud bird.
I think your cat got a bird.
Maybe. Or pterodactyl.
That I don't know if that's coming. Is that coming through on the...
Yeah.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a cat outside. Just slowly murdered a bird to death.
He murdered it.
It's exactly
my only... And I would say that that's probably my only little issue with that, that the whole movie is just how long they stuck on that shot of him just staring.
See,
and then they went to the camera, the helicopter view going around, and I'm just like, okay.
No, I like the fact that they kept it long.
But it's not a big
for
problem.
Some reason in my head, because they held that shot for so long and then went back to it for a second, I was like, I don't know, it built up in importance in my head for some reason. I was like, yeah, this is intense. And what do you guys, Rey, what's your predictions for her? Like, who is she?
Well, I've heard that there's a possibility that she's Han Solo's daughter.
Okay.
But I would lean more towards the possibility that it's Luke Skywalker's daughter. And I think that Han knew it as well. And that's who ended up leaving her on Jakku, was Luke, before he went into hiding. Dropped her off on Jakku to keep her hidden from the Sith.
Codice.
And then left.
I don't know ages of the characters. We don't know Ren's age. We don't know Finn's age. Well, actually, we don't know Finn's age. We don't know
well, how
Rey's
many years
age.
Took place in between episodes? The
So there's like 32 years have passed between Return of the Jedi.
Wow, Revenge of the Jedi. You
almost Japanese'd it. Return of the Jedi and A Force Awakens. There's 32 years.
No, right.
Obviously.
She's not 32 years
she's
old.
She's not 32. I don't think Ben is 32. I think he's maybe late 20s.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
Mid to late 20s. I'm guessing Finn's around that same age. like the 21-year-old type thing, just because that seems like an army regulation type thing. Little old, he's a little older than 18, just because you're not really a man at that point. You know, you're like that you're, they've stopped growing type age, mm-hmm. you know, because yeah. that's when they get you to armor, so they like, keep readjusting it. This kid keeps fucking growing. Plus, they don't have the little stormtroopers running around. And they're bad shots when they're older. Pew, pew, ha, ha. Anyway, sorry. I got distracted by that in my head for some reason.
I just imagine now, like, a Scotty Young Star Wars.
Yeah. All Scotty Young. Just death and dismay by little people. Not little people, but little people.
We'll call it fuck Star Wars.
I fucking hate Star Wars.
Anyway.
But, the only problem with that is Luke dropping her off when he goes to exile would not make sense because Kylo was old enough to be... You saw him in his outfit taking down the temple in her vision. So he was... He would have to be way older than her if that was Luke dropping him off when he went to exile. Because the reason he went to exile is because after the fall of his temple and the, I'm guessing, murder of all his students, maybe not all of them, but probably most of them... So she's been on Jakku longer than he's been in exile, because the way it makes it in the movie is he's been missing for a few years, where she's been there for probably close to 15 years, by the age like what she looked like she was when she was little and where she is now.
I assume she was actually much younger; that she was probably somewhere around between 5 and 10 when she was dropped off on Jakku.
I would say closer to 5 the way she was talking, but also her physical size, 5. So the way I assumed, the way they talked about it, is Luke has only been gone for a few years, so she wouldn't have been old enough to be.
Yeah, but I assume, because again, they don't say how long he's been gone, but I would actually say it's been more than 5 years.
No, because Kylo was old enough, was big enough to, he had his Kylo Ren outfit already when he took down Luke's temple. So that is the point when Luke went away, because he was when the First Order has only been around for a few years, like visibly around for a few years. Obviously they've been around longer because you don't just get stormtroopers from babies that quickly.
Right.
It's the First Order's been building up in those last 32 years, but Kylo has only been active for so many years, and I think that's when Luke went into exile.
So then you would say she is...
I would say she is definitely a Skywalker. I just don't know which half of Skywalker. I don't know if she's half Solo or half somebody else.
See, I just couldn't see with the fact that... I mean, I can see on the one hand with what you would be saying that if it is Leia and Han's kid, that when Kylo would go off and become, you know, crazy, that they would try and hide her. But at the same time...
Like, she would be too young at that point, too. I don't think they're twins. I think they're very close in age.
No, I don't think they're twins at all.
I think if she is a Solo... and the reason I say that is because she's... really in depth in the technology, which is it was an Anakin thing, like a Skywalker thing, but she's also obviously very powerful in the Force.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely some Skywalker in it, in there, you know, so half the DNA is definitely a Skywalker. I can see Luke having a daughter, but why would he exile her when she was so young, when he was trying to train Jedi?
Because
we all know that training from a young age is better. So we know that Kylo, or Ben, was being trained
from a young age.
From a young age, and that's why he's so in-depth in it already. But because he's conflicted, he can't really... I think that's why he's, again, one of the reasons he's... I'm not going to say easily defeated by Rey, but one of the reasons he's not as formidable as he possibly could be, because he is still conflicted on both sides. So he's not letting... the dark side take over completely.
Not letting loose.
Yeah, well, so he's not...
And he's not fully trained yet.
He's not fully trained on the dark side, I think.
Right. Well, but that's what I'm saying. But, end of the movie... Yeah.
But
it's time to complete it.
Yeah. Training. So
he's definitely... Yeah, because obviously he learned how to stop laser bolts in mid-flight.
He's got a good handle on the Force, but he doesn't...
But also, like, strong enough where he can stop that and Poe in his tracks completely.
Yeah.
And hold it. A whole bunch of
then
other
he has a monologue talk with, or not a monologue, but he has a talk with Poe while that's still chilling there. And then he's not even holding his hand up, so he's not even focusing directly on it.
But he can still.
But he's still like that. It. So like that, he obviously has a very good grasp on it.
Yeah.
And I think that unfortunately comes from Luke.
Yeah.
It's just the other stuff because it doesn't. He doesn't do anything that's dark side. Really, other than mind reading,
not really with the force.
Up.
No, yeah. So, he's not force choking yeah. people. He's not pushing people.
So a
stuff,
lot of the, what he's doing, I think he's is what he got from the end deal. Because the only thing I think Snoke really did for him was the breaking and bringing him to the dark side, like giving him that doubt and yeah. that, and letting him basically take that fear in. Because we also know fear leads to the dark side. So he fed that fear that he was not going to live up to his grandfather,
and also
he was going to let his father down.
Yeah,
you know, he wasn't going to be what Luke. Has been probably been promising that he could be, and so that broke him. And he's like, but I can give you all those things.
And yeah. also, there's an even J.J. Abrams have come out and said it in an interview that Kylo idolizes Darth Vader.
Yeah,
like so, there's like a fanboy element there too. So there's obviously something about Vader that when he, I'm guessing like when he was younger, he was drawn to it.
Well, also he's probably heard all the tales.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Luke told him. I'm pretty sure Luke told him the truth. Also, like how Vader, like I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure he told Vader how Vader saved him from Palpatine.
Yeah,
because obviously he doesn't have an affinity for Palpatine. He has an affinity for his grandfather. So because obviously like idolizing, but he's not. But the thing is, he's not idolizing Anakin. He's idolizing Vader.
Yeah.
So that's like that's his thing. Obviously, we talked about it before. He's designed his costume after
Vader-esque.
Yeah. I mean, everything. The helmet. Once you
how
see the helmet,
how fucking heavy is that helmet too? He sets it down twice.
Well, he slams it down once in the grab, like the rock. When he drops it, on the bridge, it's pretty hefty.
Yeah.
You got to remember that's got a breathing apparatus in it, and it's completely mechanized. Because when he pulls it off, you see the mask lift up. So like, it's got a lot of mechanics.
And
in
I was expecting when he. Takes it off. I was expecting a fucked up face or something.
So was I.
But
was
nothing.
Nope.
He did it for aesthetics, but also for the. I'm guessing for the voice because.
But he has a fucked up face now.
Yeah, again, I think that's part of the Vader fanboy in him is like, oh, Vader had this.
Oh, he got a huge direction.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Plus, it's been a long line in Sith lords. Again, he's not Sith yet. If he isn't going to be, if they even give him that moniker, because he's not a Darth yet. It could be come back as Darth Ren, who knows, or Kylo. I'm not too sure how that works. Because it's the Knights of Ren. Anyways, we don't know.
Think they keep same costume, or do you think they modify?
Oh
it?
No, he'll have the same similar costume. It'll be an upgraded helmet because it's gone now.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, but I'm thinking his look is gonna look similar but be different.
Oh yeah, they're gonna upgrade his helmet or his mask for sure. Because like I said, that one was pretty buffed up. It was already beefed up anyways because you saw the pox in it and like the damage done to it. I'm pretty sure he's worn it in a few battles.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's... I don't know if you guys realize this, but he left it behind when he chased Finn and Rey out into the snowy snow.
No, yeah.
Because he left it on the bridgey bridge when he let his father fucking just drop.
Yeah.
Or actually, he kind of pushed him.
No, he did. Did you guys see that coming? Halfway through the movie, there's something that hit me that if... Han survived, he would have to be in future movies, and that just didn't seem right to me.
He signed on for all three of the new ones.
Right, but you know, he's obviously going to be doing, obviously at this point we know that he's probably going to be just doing flashbacks and stuff like that. But I'm saying that like halfway through this movie I got this weird feeling that he was not going to make it through, that he was the one that was going to die.
Oh, they foreshadowed it for sure with the way how well Rey handled the Millennium Falcon, how the fact she could talk to Chewie.
Oh, inside joke.
Oh, I fucking hate that guy.
Ooh, calm down. We haven't said it yet, so let's
not
go.
So much hate in me right now. Like, I'm so on the dark side right now.
Yeah, but you're not fearing him, so.
Oh, God, no. I'm fearing the things I'll do to him with a fucking blunt object and a lightsaber. yeah, like, they foreshadowed it, like, completely. Like, they gave her everything... I mean, in the movie, they gave her the Millennium Falcon. They gave her the ability to fix the Millennium Falcon like he does. They gave him the ability to talk, gave her the ability to talk to Chewie. One of the best, my favorite things is when she first flew the Falcon, she flew it from Chewie's seat.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool. And then later on, she realized, oh, this is not going to work out as well as I want it to. Mm. I'm going to jump on this one. But then, like, the whole, like, swagger moment, like, when they get to, I can never remember the name of the, of where Maz Kanata's place is at, because it's got a weird name, it's like everything in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to hand her the blaster. It's like a, literally a visual passing of the torch. I was like,
oh, yeah, oh, definitely.
This
was.
Motherfucker's dead as shit. He gonna die soon. I did not expect him to die at the hand of his son.
I did.
I expected.
Well, I.
Well, when I got to the point, I did. I mean,
well, but, no, but I'm like, saying, like, it seemed to lead. I mean, it seemed to lead to that point. You knew that he was going to confront Kylo at some point.
No.
And in me, my head, that's how he was going to die. Like, I had the hint that he was going to be the character that died, and that's the only way that you're going to kill him.
Well, I still thought, because they're hinting at it, but they're also hinting at Chewie losing a step, being older, you know, because he got tagged.
He actually gets shot at one point, yeah.
Yeah, he got tagged in the arm, and then, like, Han has to, like, tell him, no, you did fine, just get some rest, you're good, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, so just that little bit right there, you're like, oh, no, like Chewie is losing a step, he's slower, he's going to get taken out. So, like...
Which they prove is not a real fact, because he destroyed people after Han got
fucked some shit up like that.
One shot kills you. He's fucking blasting bitches with that crossbow.
Yeah, he's really action involved in this one, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Well, everybody was really though. Like they have. They
but I'm just saying, like,
for everything, like even the stormtroopers were more like a lot more active than they were in the past movies.
Yeah,
like you saw a little bit in the clone troopers, but obviously when we watched those, the CGs. Not exactly top notch compared to nowadays, which is hard to say. I mean, granted, it was like, you know, 15 years ago,
something like
16
yeah,
years ago,
yeah.
whatever. But the fact that everything just looked the part, but all the like the people who like when the action happened, everything from like the stormtroopers to even Han and Chewie fighting, the ships and their dogfights. Were fucking dope, like that one continuous shot of you seeing Poe fly around just killing what looked to be maybe 10 TIE fighters, a shit ton of stormtroopers. All buzzing around and Finn kind of falling around, which
was
such
a
gorgeous shot because you never lose vision of Pit Poe's X-Wing going that whole time, and he's just fucking people up, and he's like doing dives and taking stormtroopers out around them.
Barrel rolls and shit.
He's doing barrel rolls around people, like shoot, like just manhandling every, like now you know why he's the ace pilot, like damn, even before like the Starkiller base stuff, he like that one scene you're like shit,
yeah, it was fun to him, it was just loops and
he was
this
literally
and that, and
smiles
he was just,
the entire time,
yeah,
but like because you get how good of a pilot he is right away when he gets when Finn and him escape from the Star Destroyer. Because like yes he's not completely and knows how to run everything in a TIE fighter, but he gives Finn instructions how to shoot.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I can fix this when they're tethered from the charging cable.
Which was hilarious. Yeah. I can fix this. Yep. I can fix this. And it's just sitting
so you get
there
it,
tugging.
And then like him like going through, like he knows the Star Destroyer enough to fly through the middle section of it, the hangars, which by the way, I love the redesign of the Star Destroyers. Yeah. We didn't talk about that already amongst friends. Cause like the launch bays were inside.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's dope. But you see him fly out, and he knows, like, hey, these turbo cannons. And then, like, even when they shoot the rockets at him, which I can't remember what they called him, like, even those, he's, like, trying to, like, he's, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's you know, it's fucking
that
awesome.
Was, yeah.
They get hit. He's still handling business. And then, obviously, he gets in the next wing and, you know, hands out pink cards like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
He's like, you're fired. You're fired. You're fired. At. Get it?
Mm.
Fired.
Fired at. Gotcha.
A X-Wing joke. Yep. So yeah, like that was the to Mike's point is like the Chewie was more active, which is good to see, because the actor who plays Chewie mainly isn't really the most active gentleman anymore because of his age and his build, because he's a giant human being.
Yeah,
he's awful knees and terrible back.
Yeah.
So
like,
who, do we know who else was Chewie?
I'm sure I can look it up. Mm-hmm. I think it was just literally it was just probably a stunt guy.
Mm.
Wasn't anybody. I mean, because really, I mean, not to take away from Peter Mayhew, but any tall person could be in that suit. because it's just a sound effect when he talks.
Yeah.
And it's just the movement. So you can teach, like, any good stunt person can emote well enough without their face, because, like, the biggest thing is they would be actors themselves.
Yeah, Chewie's basically, you know, like a cartoon, like a silent cartoon almost, you know? Like, he's got a, with his shoulders and his head.
Due to the fact is they don't actually give him subtitles.
And then, like, people, you know what he says by what people reply to him.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah. Which my favorite part is, like, with Han, it's always been that thing where you don't know exactly what he said, but you have a faint idea of what he said. Mm-hmm. But, like, in this one, they played it up even more, because, like, he would look for him from answers, and he'd go, okay, yeah, and, like, that.
Well, I like the scene where they encounter the two gangs, and he's like, I'll just talk my way out of this. Yeah. And Chewie says something, and he's like, hey.
Every time. Yeah. So you don't know what he said, but you know what it was, like, in context-wise.
They have that buddy relationship, but you only get to see the one side, or hear the one side of it. It's just, it's hilarious.
And speaking of that part, which, by the way, I love that scene.
Oh, that scene was fucking so hilarious. Fantastic. And
did you catch the other cameo?
What was the second one?
Yeah, he goes. But did you catch the cameos in that one?
It was the Bruce Lee guy, right?
The two guys from the raid.
Yeah.
Because there's both of them from the raid. The good cop and the bad guy, that butcher guy.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
So the raid, if you guys don't know what the raid is, sorry for you. But in the raid, there's one returning character from raid 1 to raid 2, and it was the dude in the first one that fought with the fucking lights, and then the second one was the kitchen. He was in the kitchen fight. He was the long-haired guy, and the other guy, the young guy, was the cop, undercover cop from raid 2.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, there were so many cameos in this movie.
Yeah, it was filled. It was, I mean...
Oh, my God.
Who was the guy from the other gang that was talking to Solo? I don't know, but he's fucking familiar.
He was
dude.
Awesome, though.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah. But he's just another pirate, basically. That obviously.
Now, I mean, like, in real life, I feel like I've seen him in stuff before.
Maybe we can look.
But
it
then
up.
I also thought maybe I just think he's Sean Gunn.
Well, he's not as tall as Sean Gunn, but he doesn't look very much like him.
Like,
especially from Guardians.
Maybe I'm just getting him mixed up with Sean Gunn.
Would have been funny.
Probably. But then I was like, man, that should have been Sean Gunn. But yeah,
they missed out on a big appearance.
Well, yeah, Sean.
To go, yeah, it's not like all that Marvel money he's got,
right?
It's good enough for him.
It's same company.
I know, right?
Right.
Checks all signed by Walt.
Hey, Walt. But like what I was saying with the foreshadowing with Han's death is like they gave you enough doubt to where it wasn't like painfully obvious, because like And then you go up, like, and again, enough doubt with, you know, Kylo struggling with light or dark side. And at this point, like, yeah, we figured Kylo's going to be the main bad guy going forward, but we don't know.
Because
like, this is
the
first time, like, we never know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is the first time we watch, at least me, because the original Star Wars blend into the same memory of the first time I watch them. I just know they're there because I don't remember the actual first time.
Yeah.
And then with the prequels, like, you know where the prequels end up. So you know who the bad guys are. You know what I mean? You know
but
who's
here,
who.
You don't.
Here you have no clue. We have no idea what's happening in the future.
Yeah.
So like there's enough doubt there where I'm like, maybe Kylo is gonna, you know, go, you know, come back. He could come back to the light side. He could help Rey figure out, you know,
you have
make amends with Luke. Like, he could do all these things. Like, it's not likely, but it could. And there's enough doubt there where you're like, okay. And then when he goes to Han, he's sitting there talking to Han, and he starts crying that, like, the pain is unbearable. I need your help to get rid of it. And Han tells him, like, anything, basically. Yeah. And he hands him his lightsaber. And at that point, I'm like, okay. And then when Han tries to take it and he holds on to it, I'm like, ugh. Because, like, you kind of knew. But then, like, when he hands him his lightsaber, you're like, oh, maybe Han's making it out of here. And then when he just holds on to it and they're just staring at each other, and then Han realizes it. And then collectively, the whole audience realizes it. And then all of a sudden, humidity goes way up in the room because all the tears. And then
from Mike.
Yeah.
It start raining in here for no reason at all.
And then bam, saber
through the gut.
Through the gut. And Han doesn't even look mad. Mm-hmm. Like, he just looks at him and he touches his face, and then he gets... I was like, oh, such a good scene, dude. It was such a good... It was so sad. I actually gasped when it happened.
Really?
Like, I make fun of my wife all the time because she gasps at everything in, like, TV shows. Like, any little surprise thing, she gasps. And I always make fun of her. That's why I was so pissed that I gasped. Because I literally, like, that, when he did it. And I've never done that in a movie, ever. But, like, I was so into this one that I gasped. And then I instantly got mad at my wife. I was like, this is your fault, woman. You made me do this.
You're turning me into
you're turning me into a big bag of pussy shit. It was so well done. And then, like, I've seen it a second time since. And that scene pissed me off even more because every time Han said something funny the second time or had a cool scene, I instantly just got sad.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, and he's going to die.
This is not going to be happening anymore. This is sad.
And then also, on a side note, Harrison Ford hasn't looked like he enjoyed doing a movie in so long.
Right.
And, like, I didn't think he would look like he enjoyed doing this, but you get... I don't know whether he enjoyed doing it or not, but you could tell, like, he was fully into getting back into character.
He was having fun, at least, yeah.
Yeah, like, he fully committed to going back into being Han Solo again.
Yeah.
Because if you watch him... Like, he's done cool shit, obviously, but, like, lately, you watch him in a movie, and you're like, I think Harrison Ford kind of, like, he just seems grumpy all the time.
As he got older, he just doesn't seem to be into the movie that much, yeah.
Because, like, even, like, I like Cowboys and Aliens.
Versus Aliens, yeah.
You, me, and 14 other people.
Yep. But you could tell watching it, like, Harrison Ford does a good job in it. But you also kind of have this side thing. It's like, I don't think Harrison Ford wanted to be there. Like, he always has that kind of vibe to him now. But this one, whether he had it or not, like I said, fully committed to getting back into the character of Han Solo and did such a great job. Like, this is exactly how you hoped he would be, you know, 30-some-odd years later.
Yeah.
Kudos to him on that. Maybe because he knew he was dying and he was like, don't have to show up for the next one.
They're finally killing me off. No, I loved that scene and I hated that scene so much when it finally happened, because, and as Kylo Ren is saying, you know, will you help me with this last thing that I need, and Han says yes, anything, like, in my head that clicked, like, this is the last thing that he needs to do, which is kill his dad before he, at least in his mind, becomes full.
Killing Han.
Killing your father seems
Ben,
to be
Kylo Ren killing his father was Anakin's killing all those little kids. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like that was that last fucked up step he needed to take.
And that was, it mirrors the exact thing from Return of the Jedi, where Emperor Palpatine is sitting there going, you know, kill your father and become one of us. And it's like, you know, it seems like that one big emotional thing is the one thing that you need to do in order to really just turn over to be a Sith. And that was his thing right there. And I think he kind of knew it, and he may have played it up a little bit. You know, he was still struggling with it towards the end there. That's why he was crying and stuff. But
Chewbacca.
Okay. Figured to be a younger kid.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And his name? How do you pronounce that?
Shaka Zakarisis.
Swedish guy.
I thought it was Russian.
He's holy shit. He's 6'10¼".
Damn.
Ah, so lifts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wear lifts.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut off some of his leg. Jesus. He's done one movie.
Star Wars.
Yep.
Huh. He was just some tall dude walking around, and they're like, "Hey,
JJ's like, hey, you want to be Chewy?
You're a tall, slender dude. You could fit in a suit. This old guy is barely mobbing around." We can only use them in scenes where he's sitting. I guess, like, looking back, I should have known he was gonna die, but I was still, like, holding out. Like, again, it takes balls to kill off a major character,
especially one
like
that fans love. And you couldn't kill before. Like, Harrison Ford before was like, I'm really not sure if I want to do this role, you know, so put me in carbonite. You know, kill me off. And he ends up in carbonite. But George Lucas was like, hey, this character is actually really popular. We can't kill him off.
Yeah.
But the fact that they actually do it is ballsy.
Like I said, that's why I always kind of thought, like, as much as everyone loves Chewie, and everybody loves Chewie.
Even Maz Kanteen.
It's not weird.
Maz
Kanteen.
But he's not vital to a story. You know what I mean? And apparently Han isn't either.
Han was vital to the story in Kylo Ren's story.
Just so weird seeing that. And I've always said that I wish movies would, like, series of movies would kill off main characters more.
Yeah.
Because you don't see it, I don't think, enough. And I think it's better for storytelling if you lose that character, especially in a franchise this strong where you don't need his star power. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But do it because properly. It's needed for the story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Not just like,
not
hey,
shock factor. Yeah.
Remember that we didn't kill anybody
well,
off?
Well, it's like
Quicksilver. He's dead.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to kill somebody off, we'll go to Marvel, you're killing a main character off, it should be done in Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Quicksilver should have died off at that point.
And he wasn't supposed to die off at that point.
And it should be a character that people are emotionally invested in.
A main character, not a character that they just introduced to you two.
Yeah,
because
we don't care about Quicksilver at that point.
No.
So if had they waited till Civil War, and Civil War, you need a death.
It would have gravity.
Looks like it's going to be Rhodes, but obviously they're probably just cock teasing that. What?
The guy who played the other leader of the gang from the freighter.
Yeah.
You do not know.
Okay.
Brian Vernal.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's been a bunch of stuff. You've never seen him
before. So he just looks like Sean Gunn, kind of.
But that's like the old guy at the beginning. I sat there going, oh my God, who is that?
Max Van Snowden?
I'm like, I know him from somewhere in one of the previous series. And I was like, I know him. I just don't know his name. And I'm sitting there waiting for.
Kind of like old Obi-Wan.
I'm sitting there waiting for him to say his name. And like, you know, I'm going to recognize it from one of the other Star Wars movies. And they never do. And I'm like, and then they kill him. And I'm like, fuck you guys. I look it up later. And his name is like Lon something or other. And he's not
been
in
a lot of shit.
He's not in. Yeah, exactly.
Movie.
And I think that's where I really recognize
he's
him.
He's an old
British
stuff.
Yeah.
White actor. And you're like, oh, he must have been in the originals.
Yeah.
But no, with the death but also with me saying that, I completely changed my mind once they killed Han. I was like, oh nope, I was wrong. I didn't want this to happen.
No, I went the opposite way. I went the way of this had to happen.
Yeah,
like,
it totally did.
It
was the best thing for the movie.
And then I had the thought of like, are they gonna bring him back as a ghost?
Yeah, I was thinking
and I'm
that
like,
too, and I was like,
they can't. And in my mind, they can't. Not just because of, you know, you have to have the strong tie to the Force, and it took years of training just to, you know, that's why Ben went.
Maybe
into,
Yoda goes and gets him.
But like you
and
can't.
Says, hey, talking to this recorder, I gotta
in at the
let Ray listen to this.
At the very end, it would just be a cop out if you brought him back as a ghost, you know. And I don't think
I could see his voice. I could see him,
but him doing
like,
voiceovers,
talking to like Ray or
yeah,
Finn or something.
Of course, yeah, but he's saying that visually, you can't bring him.
You can't bring him back as a Star Wars ghost.
Maybe at the end
as
of the
as a Force
one?
Ghost. No,
you can't bring him back.
No, he's dead.
But no, I totally get that. But I'm just saying, if it's the end of the third one,
nope, can't do it.
It's not. It's gonna
garbage.
Be like,
it's absolute garbage.
Nope.
You're
absolute
agree.
Garbage.
And that's coming from the person that absolutely loves Han Solo.
He can't come back if Qui-Gon can't come back. Why would Han be able to do it?
Well, that's a prequel fuck up. Yeah, Qui-Gon should have totally come back.
He didn't release himself though.
No, I'm just saying he was there doing training. Like he totally should have made another appearance at some point. That's prequels fuck up.
In canon, it is known that it's hard to actually have that ability.
I know.
Yeah.
But
this motherfucker. Was
I
want to. So much.
I
want to
hear the voice again though.
Yeah, and we will hear the voice. I think we'll see him in flashbacks.
Yeah.
Maybe that's when we learn that, you know, who Ray's father is or whose family.
Maybe already shot him, too.
You know. Yeah.
Like him talking to a young Kylo.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, he always come back for that stuff. It's not like it takes that much.
No.
But, I mean, if they have to young him up because obviously.
Yeah,
like,
you can't young him up too much.
Well, he doesn't have to be. I'm not talking like Return of the Jedi young. I'm talking like because if he's talking to young Kylo.
Just back of his head.
I'm not saying Jeff Bridges him.
Yeah.
Oh, Michael Douglas from Ant-Man. But like darkness.
Michael
hair.
Douglas one looked really good though.
Yeah, it did.
Like,
well, for the time, the Tron one looked really good.
Yeah, Tron one looked like people were like, oh, it looks weird. I'm like, of course it looks fucking weird. It's fucking, computer animation over his real
unlike,
face.
Unlike what they did for Peggy Carter and Cap 2 and what they did for Michael Douglas and Ant-Man is that's actually the actor playing it.
Yeah.
But Jeff Bridges did not do the stand-in because Jeff Bridges' body does not fit the shape it was supposed to be.
It doesn't shape. At all.
He's more of a...
The dude does not fit into that clothes, those clothes anymore.
Nope.
The dude is way bigger than Flynn. So, yeah. So...
On the fact of Kurt Russell, did you know that... yeah,
did
I know.
Did you just pull a Cody?
Yeah, I just pulled a Cody.
Nice.
It was a weird... No, I don't know. Because we were talking about Disney, though. But we were talking about Disney earlier. There was a fact that I had read that the last thing for Walt Disney to write down was Kurt Russell's name. Because apparently he was a child actor for Disney at the time.
Yeah. Shaggy Dog?
Yeah, but I mean, like...
Strongest kid in the world? Yeah.
And that was the last thing that Walt Disney wrote was just Kurt Russell's name. Kurt Russell.
He's like, hey, who do you want to be in this Shaggy Dog movie? Kurt Russell.
Freeze my head. Just my head, though.
Anyway, so that's,
Walt Disney, was he a Nazi or no?
No, I don't think he was a Nazi. But at the same time, if I recall right, he did...
Nazi-ish stuff?
No, he...
So what you're saying is Disney is built on Nazis.
Jesus Christ, Mike.
We won't go in there. We won't go into the history of that stuff, especially since we're so close to being over right now.
Says you.
Well, I realize that we could keep going, especially if we start mentioning other things here.
We have literally haven't got to Mike's third favorite thing yet.
No, I know we haven't.
Nah, I think we did.
No, we got two.
You literally got to two.
Well, I'm mentioning it. I mentioned it.
I'm pretty sure, especially what we were talking about.
To be honest with you, like you said three favorite things, and I was like, fuck, I'm A, going to have to narrow this down, and B, I'm going to have to think what the most awesome stuff was. And I'm like, think of it like when Mike is talking, and I'm like,
it's all done.
An hour later, and I still have only come up with the Millennium Falcon scene at the beginning. Because in 3D, especially, I went to see the IMAX experience 3D, not the actual IMAX, but the IMAX experience was so phenomenal.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
And almost vomit inducing. because it's just the 3D aspect of it, and the scene where she cuts the engines, she tops guns it and cuts the engines and goes.
Flat fall.
Oh.
And Finn was like, what are you doing?
Bang, 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 bang. Pew, 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 pew.
I do love the scene after that where they meet each other in the hallway and they're telling each other how great each other were. I was like, they like each other.
Which was, Finn's character himself was a fun aspect.
He reminds me of a young Denzel.
Very much so. Have you seen the pictures? Like, it's creepy.
I'm not talking just looks. When in actuality, he kind of looks like a bigger faced young Denzel, but no, he does
the pop vinyl version.
Yeah, but if you look, some of his facial expressions are very young Denzel-ish from his older movies.
Gotcha.
But
so if they do a prequel to Training Day,
yeah,
you can get John Boyega.
There you go.
But just like attitude wise and like the comedy parts of it, I'm like, God, this dude's got a lot of Denzel Washington in him in terms of just like his charisma and his
mannerisms. When they finally get into space in the Millennium Falcon, and something locks onto him, and he hops up onto the console just trying to look up in the cockpit, and she's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he's like, "Yeah, I got his hand on her face," and he's like, "What is it?"
He was hilarious the whole time because like he wanted to be the hero, and it was so funny. Like the first time he sees Rey, she's getting attacked, and he starts running to
towards
save
her, and then she
and
kicks
then
the
stops
ass.
Because she whooped everyone's ass, and he's like, "Oh, damn!" And then BB-8 sees him, and he like takes a second because he doesn't know who BB-8 is, and then he just realizes they're coming after him, so he leaves. But then when they're under attack, he keeps grabbing Rey's hand.
Rey's hand. She's like, "Why are you grabbing my hand? I can run." Oh,
was so that funny. That was
fucking hilarious.
The motivator went out again.
Always the motivator.
That made me laugh so hard, dude. And they're like, oh, it's a bad motivator. I was like, ah, J.J. Abrams like Star Wars.
The scene where they go to hide Finn and Rey and BB-8 in the smuggler's hole, first off, was hilarious. Kind of a callback.
Yeah.
But then the fact that he goes to catch BB-8, he's like, I got it.
And it's false.
He's like, oh, you're heavy.
The thumbs up.
Oh, the thumbs up was
so hilarious.
Oh, my God.
That was one of the biggest like pops in the movie theater, even the second time around, where it's like everyone just lost their shit when that happened. Everyone was happy. I was like, ah, you're getting a thumbs up. You see James Gunn's post? He did, he goes, my review of Star Wars, and it was a cartoon drawing of BB-8.
Oh, yeah, with the thumbs up. Yeah, yeah. His look more like a lighter than a torch, but yeah.
Yeah.
Get your shit together, James.
But the story was amazing in this movie. I akin it to just the original trilogy, 4 through 6, having a fuck baby. And
you said menage a trois.
Menage a trois, fuck baby. And this kid got all the best elements of those stories. And
got the immaculate cheekbones and the gorgeous hair.
Right. And
if he was a twin, he would be the Arnold Schwarzenegger version of the twin.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Of course he
would. Danny the prequels was the Danny DeVito. All the leftover crap went to you.
Did you see the SNL Star Wars casting?
I saw parts of it. Yeah,
when the new Horatio Sanz played Danny DeVito playing BB-8.
Yeah.
He's just rolling around. He's like, huh? Huh?
John Hamm.
Yeah. Ham like, Solo.
Just say Ham Solo. What's up, Ham Solo?
I'm all, huh? Oh. But that was another, speaking of Han Solo again, right there at the end of the movie, it was cool to see Rey have the drop leg holster and the gun that Han gave her. It's almost her taking on that role of Han Solo. You know?
She also had a vest on, by the way.
She did. No, she did. Yeah.
And when Poe, you called this one too, Poe is totally the new Solo in terms of attitude. And,
oh, fucking hilarious.
And like his
he's cocky.
His one-liners, he's cocky. He's
right
really
at the beginning
good at
when
the
conversation he has with Kylo, he's like, so how does this work? You go first, I go first? I was like, nailed it.
So,
Nailed it.
As soon as that scene happened, and then he's like, I'm sorry, it's hard to hear you with all that. And they pick him up, and he's all, apparatus. Like, as he's like, he has to get his lines out. I'm like, oh, God damn it. Or when Finn goes to break him out, and he's like, why are you doing this? He's like, because it's the right thing to do. And he looks at him, he's like, you need a pilot. He's off. I need a pilot. So, like, yeah, the humor was on point, the storytelling. And then this is the one negative thing I've heard about Star Wars, and it's from people who weren't, like, into it, you know what I mean? That aren't, like, super, because I wouldn't consider myself a super Star Wars nerd, like, in the least. Like, I'm very familiar with them,
but
and I was excited.
Saw it opening night.
No, because I thought it was going to be awesome, and I was right.
Because of peer pressure.
That also too. That. I just the one thing negative is like people are like, well, you know, there's still not a story. I'm like,
there was an amazing story,
a huge story, and a very well written story. And this is just the first part. This is literally the kind of the ending and the beginning of two different stories. And while on its own, remaining an amazing movie, you know what I mean? Like for instance. People who are saying they don't like it, which is a very, very small fraction
of people
I've heard, are pointing at the dumbest shit. And they just don't like these type of movies. So obviously they're not going to like it. But like my wife, Jen, she's only seen 1.5 Star Wars. And I give her a pass because if you don't watch the original Star Wars by a certain age and you're not into sci-fi as it is, like, it's probably not going to hit with you.
Yeah.
So I understood why she wasn't into it. And especially, I mean, let's be honest, there's a difference between what boys like and what girls like. So there's, you know,
good stuff and what they like.
Exactly. I get why she wasn't into them. And I try to make her watch it. She watched all the first one and didn't even get to, like, through the other ones. So I was okay with that. I made her go to it. I was like, yo, you're going to like this movie. She's like, I don't really like Star Wars. So I was like, you're going to like this movie. She's
you're
like,
gonna
all
right. You're
going
to like this
movie. Oh, that's exciting. I was like, you are going to like this movie. And she's like, I am going to like this movie. But she went and she loved it. And now she's like, she goes, should I watch the other two? Like, I'm like, well, yes, you should watch the last two. You know, two and three.
There's a lot of payoffs you're going to get.
Yeah. I'm like, you should, because those are the best ones. And also, like, you don't have to, but you should. Mm-hmm. But this is what it's going to be like going forward. Every movie's obviously going to be a little bit different, but story-wise, like, it laid the groundwork so well for the next, you know, in-order movies. So.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yep.
I was going to say something. About something.
Mm.
Was it Star Wars?
It was Star Wars.
It's Star Wars. It's Star Wars.
It was to your point. Oh, I know what it was. So to your point about the storytelling and the way it was done. So we talked about this before. Episode 4, A New Hope, could easily have been a standalone movie. It had its ending, but it had stuff could happen.
Yes.
So just in case it didn't do well, like if it ice pirated, which is a super old reference if you don't get it.
Which, by the way,
I'm not actually shocked.
The old guy at the beginning was in Ice Pirates.
Yes, he was. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
And the fact that it completely bombed in the theaters and in everywhere else. One of my favorites, by the way. It was a great standalone movie, and obviously they made two more. And we've talked about it before. Two and three lead into, like, two leads, or four, or five leads into six directly. Like, the things that happen at the end of five are telling you, hey, we are gonna make six. Like, six is coming. Like, there's another one coming because this doesn't conclude our business. Where four did not have that.
Right.
This one has that same feeling of four, but obviously with the non-speaky end where no one talks other than R2, but you still can't understand his ass. That tells you, hey, we're gonna do more. You know, like, the story is not concluded, but it is. Like, if you just watch this, it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah,
you don't have to watch any other ones, but we highly recommend you do
because
like your money.
Because it's gonna be more of the same.
But know, unlike awesome. The prequels, where they're like, oh, it's one big story because we're not gonna tell one. We're not gonna tell three stories. We're gonna tell one story, and we're never gonna give you an ending until the end. And it's not really an ending because we know what's going on.
Yeah.
Obviously, just didn't work out very well because. You kill your villains every time.
Yeah.
And this one, you mean you didn't lose any villains? I mean, I'm going to guess Phasma got off the planet.
I'm assuming that, yeah. Because that was a point also brought up in a thing that we won't mention right now, that she didn't really do anything. And I totally agree. They seem to have...
Placated a lot.
Yeah, they gave her lots of toys, and she seemed to...
She's in every ad.
She's got that fucking silver armor.
The chromed out stormtrooper.
Yeah, and she looks like she's going to be a badass. She sounds like she's going to be a badass. She's played by Brienne of Tarth. I can't remember the actual actress's name. Yeah, or Brienne of Tarth, just depending on which book you're listening to.
Or movie.
Or movie, yeah. And then nothing. She gets thrown into a compactor.
Well,
No, she does.
Yeah, well, we think. They don't show it.
They don't actually show it, but they say, hey, where's the nearest compactor? They're going to throw her into it. So she's not dead.
Which is hilarious.
I'm pretty sure she's going to come back for the sequels.
Oh, I'm sure. I hope they use her more.
Yeah.
That was like my one gripe about the movie. I was like, I wanted to see her fuck shit up. And
the scene on Maz's bar would have been like a perfect scene for her.
Yeah,
She starts leading the stormtroopers and just laying waste to people.
And
it just didn't happen.
Stop it. And like I said last night, is you realize that she's Captain Phasma, which means she's not on the front lines.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I didn't even pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Like, General Hux isn't going to go down to the planet.
No.
He's going to make a fucking hate speech I'm surprised he didn't say, in my new book, Mein Kampf, available in the gift shop. Dude, tell me that's not what you thought was happening.
No, I absolutely thought that was happening, especially when he's doing his speech.
Yeah, it's a hate speech. Like, at the end, when he's talking to all the troops, I was like,
and
holy,
you got the red flag sitting behind him.
First Order, Third Reich. I mean, they're on their first. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah. But one last, actually, it's a two-part question here.
Ooh, I like two-part questions. We got another 30 minutes, so.
How many times did you expect this movie to end? Because to me, it seemed like it ended like three times.
Ended?
No. But I mean, like the way they set things up is like...
This could lead to the end?
This could be the end. You know, they blew up the Starkiller base and they got back home and you're like, oh, okay, this is the end and the next couple movies are going to be the search for Luke Skywalker. And then they actually went and found Luke Skywalker, you know?
I would say, I mean, I guess only... I could see it ending twice, I guess. The sum up when they show back up to the Rebel base would be the big one. Other than having a medal ceremony, would have been what the ending of A New Hope would have been like.
Right.
Happy ending. Everyone's almost happy, even though Han's fucking dead, you fucking monsters. And Mike said, like, you could have easily had the... credits going and all of a sudden you hear hyperspace and you see the Millennium Falcon stop outside that planet and then you see it wind down again, completely wordless, goes down, she makes her long arduous trek up to the top of that crazy ass temple island thing, which the Falcon could have easily just hovered and let her down, but yeah. I guess it's part of the trial, I guess, maybe. And then she pleads for her dad's love with the lightsaber, and Mike tears up once again, like a bitch.
Mike, you a big bitch.
You a big old bitch. Yeah. You a bitchy fuck. You sobbing bitch. But yeah, I mean, that could have been, like, obviously that was the ending, but I mean, I could have summed it up right there. But I mean, I guess, actually, no. One, for me, it would have been one. It would just been... at the them coming to the Rebel base and her going into the Millennium Falcon and taking off would have been the ending for me.
Yeah.
So one, I guess, would have been expected. I mean, obviously, the second was the actual ending.
Yeah, that's why I'm also counting the actual ending.
So two, I guess, would two, be the thing. Yeah. Yeah. Two for me. Mike? Yeah. He doesn't care.
No, I didn't feel like it was ever ending. Like, I
also didn't think it was long enough myself. I could have easily gone for another 30 minutes.
Well, yeah. And they're supposedly it was like 20 minutes cut from the final movie.
Super short. But yeah.
Second time I saw it, it felt super short. I was like,
yeah, it's a normal length movie.
Did you guys skip some?
But I was really impressed with the pacing, though. Like, I like the pacing once. So when it starts, you're like, you're just, you know, trying to get into it, figure out what they're doing, everything like that. And then once they get on the Millennium Falcon, it seemed like from that point on, like, it was just insanely well-paced. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it wasn't well-paced to get up to that point, but you could tell, like, they're building up to that. That's the first real big action sequence. And then there was one, like, it felt like after another.
It's like a block scene. Of dialogue, action, block of dialogue, yeah. Action.
Yeah. And it didn't feel at any point overly action, you know, like they're abandoning story for visuals. They never felt like that. But it also, you never got to a point where, like, in your head, you're like, when's the next fucking sequence going to be?
Not a goddamn bathroom break in that whole thing.
Oh, no, there wasn't. Not at all. And,
I ruined a kidney because of that.
Exactly. I never felt like it was about to end, though. Like, because I felt like you have to at least make an attempt to destroy that thing, or at least take the weapon out.
Oh, yeah, we knew that. I'm talking about the when they come back,
like, they destroyed it, everybody's happy.
Then they come back,
and I thought that was the end next couple of movies would be the search for Luke.
Well, I knew as soon as, I assumed as soon as they revealed R2 and they're like, he's in low power mode and he's probably not ever going to be the same. I was like, well, R2 is going to turn on.
Well, yeah, I knew that. No.
You know what I mean? So, like, I was using that as my reference of, like, we haven't seen the R2 point and the maps matchup. Like, in my head, I was like, that's what's going to end it. And then I was like, well, they're there. Luke, Mark Hamill was on set a lot. It'd be silly if they didn't even show him at all. You know what I mean? Yeah, if you cut Mark Hamill out of Star Wars. He had a scene, but it just didn't work.
So we just
Luke doesn't seem important, even though that's what literally this is about.
It gave away too much of the story.
How fucking genius was it that they kept Mark Hamill over there for 3 weeks? Everyone knew he was there for 3 weeks. So you're like, we're getting at least
obviously
a scene.
That scene didn't take 3 weeks to shoot.
No. Well, the two scenes he was in. Well, we assume he was the hand. Well, like, it was actually Mark Hamill as him.
That. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. So it was pretty genius on their part. Be like, oh, we're going to keep you here for 3 weeks.
Oh, it's because it took Ray forever to walk up those fucking steps.
he's like, we're literally only going to, like, it's probably going to take us half the day to shoot your scene. And you're just going to hang out with us.
Yeah.
You know, talk to fucking Solo and Leia. Yeah. And everyone will be cool, hang out, have lunch. And he didn't do a goddamn
It'd
thing.
Be like
after
a reunion.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say that's it.
What was your other question?
I forgot a long time ago.
Fair enough.
It had to do with the death of somebody.
Well, I mean, there's really only one death in this whole thing.
Yeah, there were quite a few deaths.
Well, there's two deaths, I guess you could say. There was the old guy at the beginning and then the old guy at the end. And that's really the only deaths, really. I mean, there were stormtroopers and rebels blowing up and stuff
like
that.
I mean, there were a lot of deaths.
But there's like, I mean, that's like saying there's a lot of deaths when the Death Star blew up. Of course it is. I don't know all of them. FN
Jeff
3390 or I mean, like, you know, like, damn it, I told you to call out to work. So yeah, anybody else? Anything?
No.
I really want to talk about that fucking HuffPost bullshit, but we ain't got time now.
No.
It'd be kind of pointless to bring that up.
No, I'm so fucking mad.
We can always do it next week.
Part 2 next week, kids.
Spoilers 2.
Yeah, spoiler. It's
harder.
Spoil harder.
So that?
That's it.
Wait. What'd you guys think of the movie?
Oh, I hated it.
Right? Absolutely god awful.
Real quick, though.
Garbage.
No. Where do you rank them in terms of...
It's my favorite one.
Oh, it's your favorite one?
Favorite one.
It's awesome, my favorite one.
Yep.
I didn't think they could do that. Like, I really didn't think this would be my favorite one. Not to discredit in the other ones, it's not even close for me. Like, it was obvious as soon as I walked out of that theater. I was like, that's the best
that's
one they've
one.
Done. Yep. Like, that's the
Nailed
best one.
Nailed it.
Yep.
How much money do you think it's going to earn?
Like, well,
are they
going to
have
this.
A number for the one that
Before
it
comes out to home video, Disney will make the money they spent on buying Lucas up.
I'm sure, yeah.
Well, what was the... I should have fucking had
The weekend
it
was $513
million. Yeah. Worldwide, domestic. I go...
513. No. Worldwide was 513.
Yeah, domestic.
Domestic.
Like 280?
Yesterday, it just hit 300.
Okay, so...
Domestically.
Just the weekend was a $280 million
Thursday through Sunday
which
was $287 million.
Ridiculous. And Thursday was just 7 o'clock, so it wasn't even... Yeah. Which
was not a full
the Jurassic day. World that had the best opening weekend up to that point earlier this year.
They had 207 or 203 million.
It was
Jurassic World, and it beat it. But they beat it by like 30.
They handily beat it, and then they follow that up with a record-breaking $40 million Monday, a non-holiday Monday, getting $40 million. I was like, holy fuck, dude!
They broke the record for pre-sales screens it opened on. IMAX screens it opened on.
It's met every box office record.
Opening day international,
positive
opening
wise,
day domestic.
Smashed.
Opening weekend international, open weekend domestic. Overall domestic or overall worldwide. They broke Monday a non-Monday holiday. They broke Spidey's? Yeah, Spidey's Tuesday record.
Yeah. No, I think that was Monday's.
No, it was Tuesday's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They broke Avatar, they're on the way to break Avatar's 1 week sales, which it still holds.
Yeah.
Which is weird because Jurassic World took the overall, but it took a while for it to do it. They're on pace to break everything Jurassic World did. It's just fucking crazy.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's it.
So?
Kids.
Who are we?
We are comes naturally.
I just brought it up. It's at, as of right now, $288 million. It's in its first week, not even a full week at this point. Its first week, it's already the 68th highest grossing movie of all time. domestically. And after next weekend, it should be, if it tracks right, it should be in the top 15 by next weekend. And that should only be about half of its gross. So
you're gross.
That's ridiculous. We're thinking we're looking at 800 million.
Yeah.
Cause Avatar is at
760
million lifetime gross. And that's after re-releases and stuff like that. So that's not even like original run. So we're easily looking at 820, probably 840.
Or a billion.
Million. Oh, dude, can you imagine hit that billion mark? If it hit the billion mark, it'll probably take over after accounting for inflation, too.
Yeah.
With that billion mark. God damn it.
Because
nerds like you are going to see it 18,000 times. Or me.
Is it Wizard of Oz that still has the inflation record?
I can't remember. I don't know.
Or is it Gone with the Wind?
I think it might be Gone with the Wind.
It's one of those old-ass movies.
Yeah.
Old lady movies.
But, like, even like, technically speaking, out of, like, the newer ones, Titanic would still have it, too.
Yeah, Titanic has the, for the newer ones, yeah.
Titanic's still number two. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And we can get into this later. But the reason this one is not going to have any problem grossing that is I always thought, like, Titanic took number one because, and this is going to sound weird, but it's not a sexist thing at all. It's just a fact. Men go to the movies more than women do. It's been proven. Like, that's the study for movie theater releases. It's more dudes than it is women. But women love Titanic so much, and that's what kind of kept it going. Women, like, old ladies especially, loved it so much.
Where's my Jack?
Yeah, essentially. I always thought that was, like, the biggest reason. And obviously the staying power. Got him dusty. Yeah, exactly. But this one, Star Wars Force Awakens, which we didn't really talk about. We talked about how badass Rey is, but this is the first female superhero that is really gonna fucking do justice. You know what I mean? Like, cause Marvel and DC feel like they're kind of all like, they want to do like
on the verge of it.
Yeah. They're like right there of doing their first female one and hopefully they're all good. But like, they haven't done a female one yet. And Star Wars like kind of snuck it in, be like, nah, bitches, we got Rey. She's a fucking super Jedi by the time this was all said and done. So I think that's another reason is because guys, everyone's going to like it who was a Star Wars fan before because it held up what we wanted to see it. But then it's going to bring this new generation of fans in, like my wife, who loved this movie. And part of the reason she loved it is because you had a female lead that wasn't endangered, that wasn't
a sex symbol.
She wasn't a lot of the like action movies with female lead characters, they try to force that, you know, like, oh, look how badass she is, and they give her like dumb looks and weird, like, this, like, it wasn't pandering to it at all. Like, it was like, no, this is just a really well written character, good performance in a good movie. So this character, or like, organically off of all the ingredients being correct, is the best female action lead we've ever seen. And that's going to take this whole new audience that never would have come to Star Wars. And that's what's going to, like, if it does hit that 1 billion mark, that's going to be the reason why. It's because, what's up?
Comes down to the fact, you said writing, comes down to the fact that that role could have been male or female. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
She wasn't a princess. She wasn't anything. She was just a character that happened to be female. And obviously it played very well between Rey and Finn because of that chemistry they had.
Mm-hmm.
But it you could have swapped those. You could, Finn could have been a girl.
And
Rey could have been
Finn,
a boy.
And if Finn was a woman, it wouldn't have been an issue. It still would have been a good character for her.
They could have swapped those. Like I was saying, you could have swapped them. It would have mattered.
Yeah, because a lot of the times that's the problem you run into. It's like, oh, they're trying to make this a strong female character. So, like, any, like, Angelina Jolie action movie that she was doing 15 years ago, they all sucked. But, like, that's what they were trying to do, you know?
Yeah.
So, this one, like you said, yeah, that's perfectly said. It could have been man or woman, Rey or Finn, either one of them, and they both would have been held as a great finally a proper female lead in an action movie that's not unnecessary, like a sex symbol. It's not thrown in there. It's not written like, oh, we want this to be this is what we're trying to do here. It's like, no, we're gonna make good characters, and this one's gonna be a dude. This one's, it's like they threw dice. They're like,
it's like Phasma.
Yeah,
I mean, if you wouldn't have never told anybody that was Gwendolyn Christie or Brianna Tarth for Joe, and you would have, if you didn't hear that voice of being sounding feminine,
yeah,
very little bit of what she, like, even when she walked, it was a little hint of like female swagger in it, because she did want to obviously wanted to play that up a little bit, but she didn't like saunter her hips or anything like that. Like, she was very, she just had like a movement of the way women walk.
And also, I think this movie did a good job too of like, it wasn't whitewashed at all. Like, you know, like older movies, just simply because like that's how like movie casting and agencies worked, is you just hired
white people.
They
didn't, like, Gods of Egypt.
X-Wing. Yeah. Oh God, dude, that's going to take a whole podcast to complain about that too. Like the X-Wing pilots, there are Asian ones, there are aliens, there are black guys, there's Asian guys all spread out through the movies, there's black dudes, there's some Hispanic dude, like, there's other women.
The soulless.
You know?
There was there's a Twi'lek,
so, like,
that was
when,
in there.
So, like, when you watch the original trilogy and you kind of understand, because the time, it's like, oh, you have Princess Leia and no other women. Or, like, oh, you got Lando and no other black dudes.
Yeah, early 80s, late 70s, you know, it's that's how.
And, but
that's
now, like, this time where you're, like, watching it, and it's not like a thought I first had. It's a thought that I was thinking later on. I was like, oh, they did a really good job of keeping that movie diverse. Like, well, the leads, you know, outside of all your old favorites, is a black dude and a woman. So it's like, yeah.
And Poe is easily European looking. No. He has like a Spanish, Eastern European look to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the dark skin is really like Italian type thing. But the last point I would like to make about it that it just brought up because the way what you're talking about is the haters that are talking about the stormtroopers all being humans.
They explain it right away.
No, I'm
well,
not talking about that.
Explain it,
I'm not talking about being humans as not being clones. I'm talking about, do you know they're human? Because they're humanoid. We don't know what's under those masks. We don't even know what Gwendolyn Christie's character looks like without her fucking armor on. She doesn't have four arms. Because she doesn't have four arms, you can see them. But we don't know she's humanoid. She could be a soulless under that helmet. Because you don't know that she... Like, the only person you... The only trooper you ever saw without a helmet on was Finn. And yes, he was black.
But he did,
that's because he was natural.
Like, all of them were taken from their families, just like everyone else.
Well, yeah, but it does... Birth. But you... I mean, of all the planets they went through and they've taken over...
You didn't have weird... Yeah,
yeah. If,
right.
As
you
long as...
Aliens.
As long as they don't have to remanufacture the Stormtrooper outfit to fit a non-humanoid look, it could be any race under there. Because we saw... Your point, exactly. The X-Wing pilots. You didn't have anybody who had, like, tentacle arms or, like, you know, a floating gas creature driving one. They're all humanoid.
Yeah.
Because the ships were made to fit... humanoid type characters. Like, a soloist has regular hands. You don't see a Mon Calamari in there because the helmet wouldn't fit, and their fucking weird webbed hands can't fucking flip switches properly. That's why Admiral Akbar makes a perfect, you know, squishy admiral. Just sits on a chair and swivels.
Poe, for anybody that was wondering after he brought it up, his name's Oscar Isaac, born Oscar Isaac Hernandez in Guatemala to a Guatemalan mother and a Cuban father.
See, there you go.
So no white dude is the lead anymore.
White female.
Take that, man.
And that one,
the man.
And they introduced, I mean, obviously with Luke at the end, but are they killed off their main white lead with the lightsaber through the gut slash back?
They're
going
to bring another one back, though.
Well, that's what I
just said.
Don't
get too crazy.
Well, that's what
it's
I just
still
said.
Made by Disney.
That's what I just
all
said.
All those Nazis.
And on that note, comes naturally, we are...
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody, and as usual, you just came naturally.
Waiting, Mike, do something dumb. Oh,
ah. That's it.